An area that would complement actually social skill groups quite a lot is Carol Gray's social stories. I don't know how many of you have heard her speak about social stories. Not a very entertaining person to hear if you get a chance. And this again is a very brief sort of resume. We use these an awful lot both in mainstream and at Fremantle's actually. They're developed in the US by Carol Gray, and they're really a script to teach social understanding. They're actually written for specific areas of difficulty. So you don't sort of write blanket social stories about you actually write them for particular situations. And they're relatively easy to produce, and I've got some little examples to prove that. Why are they effective? Well, they include concepts which support the learning style of children with ASD. So they're visual, they use pictures or text or both, depending on what's appropriate. They're permanent, and they can be revisited. Also the same every time, and I think with the best will in the world, when you're explaining something, even if you're giving the same information, you word it in a slightly different way, don't you? Or, you know, and this having the script there actually makes you use the same words every time, so I think it's quite useful for us as well. And use simple language or language that's appropriate to the individual child. Acknowledge that it's okay to find a particular situation difficult, but give alternative behaviours. So we're not saying it's wrong to be feeling like that, it's fine to be feeling like that, but here are some things that you could do as an alternative. And we always use I will try rather than I will to avoid the sense of failure. There's always another chance. So if you say I will and they don't do it the first time, then they're likely to reject it another time because they're, well, I've already failed that, so, you know, it's no good anymore. This is my, I did an in-service twilight at a staff meeting for a school, and notoriously sort of a bad slot to have, you know, because everyone at the end of the day is not at their best, you know. So as a sort of little bit of humour, I did my own social story for them about staff meetings to illustrate the rules of writing. So we start off, after school we sometimes have a staff meeting. Sometimes, we don't always, sometimes, so we set the scene. We may talk about school business or a speaker may come to talk to us. And then why it happens. This helps us to know what's going on at school and sometimes to learn new things. At the end of the day, I'm tired and find it hard to concentrate. This is okay. I will try to concentrate and look as though I'm interested. And then we give you a few cues as to how you can do this. I can do this by nodding and smiling occasionally and writing the odd word on my notes. Little cues about how to show you. If I do this, the speaker will be happy and think that I enjoyed the talk. I should have done that at the beginning, shouldn't I, really? It doesn't matter if you actually did or not. You see, if I think you did, that's fine. Some examples of what we've used social stories for, and this is where it sort of crosses over in behaviour a bit, but throwing clothes in the pool after swimming. This is one of my particular... In fact, I, you know, unwittingly reinforce this behaviour, as is so easy to do, by this little girl in our... So we've got like a sort of half wall on the changing room, so it's not completely solid. And so one swimming lesson, we have all their clothes in a basket, and we're all dressed, everybody was dressed, you know, the last sock had gone on, and she sort of flung basket and all into the middle of the swimming pool. And of course, I think it was hysterical actually, but we laughed. Wrong, bad mistake. Because obviously every week that it was, every time you finish, and we got a bit fed up of someone having to sort of strip down and go back into the middle, so it was all sinking, you know. All these children just dried and desperate to get back in the pool, you know, because they don't want to come out either. So we got a bit desperate. So what we did was we did her a little story, a very simple. This is just a sort of, you know, action and consequence story really for her, because she, you know, her level, this is appropriate to her level. So this was, you know, she throws her clothes in the swimming pool, and this was a tricky one because the only thing that we could think of that would really relate to that was actually not being able to swim. But of course that's a whole other week away. So we talked to Mum, said, no, this is what we think we're going to have to do, you know, is that okay? You know, because it's fixed, not extreme, but it's a little, you know, it's long. We didn't normally wait that long in between the action and the consequences, but in this case there wasn't really much option. So, you know, no swimming, it would be the next week. And we showed it to her before swimming. We laminated it in case it went in the pool with everything else. Showed it to her at swimming, showed it to her after swimming, and, you know, all the clothes went in. That was fine. So we knew we'd probably have to go through it once in order for it to be effective. So the next week we showed it, and it was always the same thing. So she could relate in her mind that she'd seen this. This kept, you know, kept appearing. You know. And we did, you know, she didn't go swimming that week, but she didn't actually throw her clothes in the pool again. Because the next week we were able to say, and she could then remember, oh right, this is what this means. And it was unfortunate that we had to go through it once with her not actually understanding what it meant. But in that case, it was effective for her, and it did help to stop that behaviour that we'd unwittingly sort of reinforced in the first place. holding hands, walking to school. This was a child that actually who doesn't have ASD, but we were working with other children in the school, and this was a particular problem, and they used it, and it worked with him as well. So that was nice. But this is a little photograph style one about walking to school, and just so you can't really see, because obviously the photographs don't photocopy enough. Blanked out the faces for confidentiality, so it's not, you can't really see it very well, but it's just they've taken photographs of him at every sort of stage of the process, and a little commentary, you know, here mum walked to school, there are lots of cars driving fast, he remembers how to keep safe, he stays on the pavement and holds mum's hand, and they keep sort of repeating that little, just to get over that one area, and they decide they just work on home to school first, as a one area, you know, because it's a huge thing to try and solve the whole thing at once. But actually with this child, once they'd done home to school, he did generalise it to other areas. So they, you know, it was actually really effective for him, that one. And mum, I think. Preparing for a school trip, actually, I haven't got it with me, but it's again a booklet style one, and a lovely learning support assistant made this little chap was going on a school trip, and he was really anxious because he didn't know when they were going to have lunch, and it was all different to the school day, and she had gone and got some postcards of the places there. It was a local, you know, sort of just a day trip. And there was all sorts of things. He was worried about missing the coach home. He was worried about, you know, all sorts of things. And she did it with a little booklet style one, which is, you know, our day trip to Guildford or whatever. And she did, you know, these are the adults that become, because then you can use names, because you know, these children will be on in my group. I can sit next to, and he had a special friend that he wanted to sit next to. So, you know, I'll be able to sit next to so-and-so. And went through all the, you know, well, this is where I'll eat my lunch, because you got a postcard of where they're going to eat their lunch. And I thought there was a bit that said, if I need to go to the toilet, I can ask, you know, Mrs. Doug. She knows where all the toilets are. Oh, lovely. and I will be back to school at, you know, 2:30 or whatever time, brackets, in plenty of time for the coach home. So all the little things he was worried about, she'd worked into this little booklet. So, and she kept one at school and sent one home so that mum could sort of go through it with him. And he did manage that trip beautifully, and has since done two residential trips with the school with booklets, you know. We were joking that if he does a much longer one, we're going to have to sort of carry his booklet in a little truck or something, because he's getting these longer and longer kind of trips away. But really have helped him manage those things that he may not have been able to if he didn't have that little, you know, just a visual kind of thing to help him along. There's another one here. We had, this is says, can I bring it to school? And there was one school I went to, and this little child was allowed to take a pocket toy. And his idea of a pocket toy and their idea of a pocket toy didn't quite match up. And we thought, well, how can we, you know, tell him what a pocket is, any sort of reception aid? So we decided we'd have one of these, a little version of these zippy wallets, so the A5 size one. And basically the rules are, if it fits in there, you can take it to school. If it doesn't, it doesn't go. And the school followed that with a little visual thing, can I bring it to school? And again, you can't see it very well, there's a little toy in there with the zip done up, with a tick by it, and a little toy hanging out with a cross. So it's just, you know, this is your little measure, can I take it to school? And that's really helped. Because obviously, you know, initially they were not near the school, acknowledging that, you know, poor mum was trying to get him out of the house, and if she made him, you know, she had to, you know, in order to get him out of the house, you know, coming with this toy was the only way he was going to get there. So they appreciated all that, but trying to sort of, yes, it was. And it's really, you know, it's helped him to, and of course, often, bless them, they're great ones for rules. So if you've got your rules, you know, that's fine. And now I know where I am. If it goes in here, you know, I can take it to school. And so I like that one. That's a simple one. Another one written by another lovely LSA I've worked with. As I said, they're easy to produce. I mean, this, you know, they don't have to be beautifully produced, digital photographs, laminated, all that kind of thing. And this little boy loves quiz shows, absolutely adores quiz shows. So she's done him a social story in the style of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So that's one of his favourite shows. And their little problem was she had to take him out into the playground to meet mum, and he didn't like having to be taken out in the playground by an adult, because, you know, he just didn't. But there were problems, you know, he was... Because if mum might be late, he wouldn't have any... He wouldn't think to come back to the classroom. And so it was, you know, it was quite necessary. Or she might need to speak to mum. So, you know, does Mrs. Brown, she's given the names of all the people who might have to take him out, have to come out to mum with Andrew after school. And she's got A, yes, B, no, C, perhaps, D, maybe. And then she said, Andrew, choose. And of course, because he is compelled to get it right. He has to give the right answer. He can't possibly give a wrong answer. You know, do you want to lose a million? You know, do you want to win a million? You can phone a friend, and they go through all the sort of routine. Junior school age, year four-ish, so you know, 8, 9, that kind of age. And so we've got 8, yes, correct. And then she says, why? And so she tells him, you know, because he might fall over on his own, or mum might be late, or we need to speak to mum. Brackets, we promise not to talk for too long. So that's really, you know, I thought it was a great idea to actually use something that she knows he likes to make it into a social stories type thing. And they do that, you know, every day before it's become part of their going home routine now. They get out his little story and they have this little, you know, oh, we'll have 50-50s. Just to show that they can be sort of anything from, you know, wordy ones to just one of my lovely early bird mums, who I'm sure won't mind me sharing the story with you, was saying that her little chap's latest trick was weeing in the fireplace. You know, just fancy, you know, it's a nice place, a nice space. But his previous hobby had been posting things into the fireplace, so Dad had fixed it up so that he couldn't post things. Unfortunately, he made such a good job of fixing it up for not posting that Mum was finding it very hard to clean the fireplace because Dad had done a great job. And she lit up, with, you know, we were talking about it earlier, but she literally tried a little stick drawing, you know, of someone weeing and did the big, you know, no thing and put it in the fireplace. And she was amazed because he just stopped doing it. You know, this sign. We just have a laugh. We said, we better take it out if you have anyone for dinner. Because he's a bit off. It's big sort of sign. No weeing in the fireplace. but that for him. And in fact, this little chap, it's very very visual. You know, got lots and lots of verbal skills. But the best way to get through to him is visual. So she's poor lady's got all sorts of signs. No climbing on the bookshelf. You know, all these kind of signs all around her house now.